Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 9th of December 2013, the podcast that takes it or leaves it. This is your host, Shane Killian. Joining me again this week are Tim Dyson and Charles Thomas. Guys, welcome back to the show.
Good day, everybody.
Hello.
And welcome back to everyone from this little break we took. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving or Hanukkah or just sitting around playing video games or whatever it was we were all getting into. But now it's time to get back to the old grind and the news of the bogus. And I'm tempted to sing Ding Dong the Witch is Dead, but A, that would be in bad taste, and B, it's copyrighted anyway. But yes, Sylvia Brown, psychic fraud and all-around horrible person, is dead.
Is it even worth saying that she didn't see it coming?
Actually, she told Larry King that she'd live to 88, and she died at 77, so
yeah.
She died the way she lived, being wrong.
Well, she was close. And maybe some evil spirit relied to her.
Only God is perfect, honey!
Sylvia Brown, a person who used the kidnappings and everything else and profited on poor families. It's just like, how do these people who do this stuff, I don't know. I don't have the heart for that. I don't know what type of person who would take someone's grief and all this wishes thinking that their family members are still alive and use that against them. It's borderline sociopathic.
Oh, I'd say it's way past the border there. And probably the most famous case was Sean Hornbeck. He had been kidnapped, and his parents had consulted Sylvia Brown, and pretty much everything she said was just wrong, wrong, wrong. She said his kidnapper was dark-skinned, and he wasn't. He had long hair and dreadlocks. He had short hair. She told them Sean was dead, and he was alive, that his body was between two boulders, and he was alive in the abductor's apartment, no boulders in sight. You know, I mean, she was just... I mean, even if you guess, you should be right about some things. It seemed like she had some kind of anti-psychic power. She could always get the wrong answer no matter what.
Hmm. Hey, maybe you could make something of that if she was consistently wrong. Oh.
Yeah. She's dead, honey. Your daughter's dead. Really? Great. That means my daughter's alive.
And it's a shame that people still give these people money and their time and effort and waste police resources.
That's a big thing.
You waste police resources and the killers or kidnappers are free to torture or do whatever the victim or do it again. It's sickening that these people who do use these things, I think Penn and Teller already talked about this like way early in their whole BS stuff, that actually went out saying psychics and all this type of stuff. It just said this, like, he talked to all these psychics and yet I gave them all these case notices, and they got everything wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, the tragic thing is, they're in a very advantageous position. They're like the funeral industry. Their targets, some customers, are people who are not emotionally stable. They're going through a very hard time. I mean, if you had a family member who was missing, you wouldn't care how remote the chance was that he was right. You would take any chance possible just because you love the person so much. And tragically, they play on that, and I bet you anything, they tell themselves that they're doing good, that they're making it easier on people, but that doesn't justify lying, and in the end, all you're really doing is taking their real memories and tainting them with completely fake ones.
Yeah, and it's just this big widespread thing. I mean, people say, you know, Sylvia, you know, she's dead, but there's plenty of others out there. There was one case of a girl named J.C. DeGard. She was abducted at age 11. And wasn't rescued until 18 years later. In the interim, there were like hundreds of psychics coming along that gave information about the case. Oh, here's her location. Here's her. And the police just went on one wild goose chase after another. And of course, the psychics were just wrong about everything.
Why were the police even following this? I mean, wouldn't proper procedures say that psychic claims are not valid evidence?
Well, because a lot of times you'll have the real abductor or murderer or something have a crisis of conscience, call up, pretend to be a psychic, and say, this is where the body is. And so they have to, they can't just ignore a tip when someone calls in, because if it turns out that person was there the whole time, and they got the call in and they didn't act on it, you know, they'd be in kind of hot water.
Yeah, it's a catch-22 to police officers and then people who actually really are trying to follow the evidence and do everything like that. It's just that, you know, I hear these stories, and more often than not, they're wrong. They're loud wrongs, and when they're wrong, families get hurt.
Yeah, and the thing about Sylvia is, I think she was really the worst of the lot, because, like, there was this one time on Montel Williams, this really nice-looking old couple just clearly grieving, you know, pleaded with Sylvia. She was like, our daughter died. We don't know why she died. Please, Sylvia, can you tell us how she died? Sylvia didn't miss a beat. There was not even a pause. She came back with, she was shot. When, as it turns out, she just collapsed in her room. And, I mean, it's not about just about how stupid it is. I mean, she could have picked 100 different things, aneurysm, hemorrhage, or whatever, and gotten away with it. But it's the fact that out of all these possibilities, the very first thing her mind immediately went to was murder.
That was probably the dumbest guess she could have made.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not like you look at a body and go, oh, there's a hole in it, and there's a bullet at the end of the hole. Gee, I wonder what happened. I mean, you know, when someone says, I don't know how my daughter died, you think that would... You know.
It, like I said before, people who have this, these psychics and everything else, they are real hucksters, and they will take your advantage of you, they will take your money, they will take your time, and your energy, too. Just get away from them, man. Just do not mess with these people.
If you're not convinced and you still insist on going to them, at least do this. Bring someone with you who was not emotionally, who knew of the person in question, but was not emotionally attached to them. And listen to them when they say, hey, that's not right. What's this guy saying?
Yeah, that was what Penn and Teller found on their show when they did it. There was this one guy, whoever that psychic was, I think it was Rosemary Altea. She read his mother and he was crying. But then on the way home, he was talking it over with his wife. And after talking it up with his wife, it was like, yeah, everything she said was kind of generic. And so, you know, it just takes a little someone who's just a little bit more grounded in rationality, which none of us are when we lose someone close to us. You know, just have someone like that there with you and just kind of do a reality check. But still, someone has died, so how about a moment of silence out of respect for the death of Sylvia Brown?
Yeah, that should about cover it.
Yeah, that's pretty much. I agree.
All right, enough of that. Next story. Oh, Bitcoin.
Oh, joy.
Oh, guess what? The government has no clue what to do with Bitcoin.
Oh, surprise. There should be a list of what government doesn't know what to do with. Let's see. War.
Money, jobs, healthcare websites.
You know, that would be just nice. A list of things that just the government does not know what to do with.
Well, what's going on is next year we got the midterm elections coming up. And so all the candidates are getting their websites and their donation stuff up. And some of them have started taking bitcoins, as has the Libertarian Party. And the FEC has no clue how to handle this. I mean, first of all, you've got disclosure problems because Bitcoin is basically anonymous. The candidates are required to report the identity of anyone who donates more than $50 to the campaign. How do you do that if the only information you have is this wallet address, this long string of pseudo-random junk?
So what? Never stopped you guys from accepting bribes before.
Yeah. No, they're not bribes.
Yeah, but we're talking about campaign donations. You've got to set like all your FEC paperwork and you've got to send it up to them and say who donated, and how do you do that?
I have no idea. But I think, to me, the Federal Election Commission, they're trying to say, wants to shut this down because they know third parties, Libertarian Party, Green Party, or whatever, they might get, like, huge donations because of this.
Well, that's exactly it. Yeah, that's why they even have campaign finance laws to begin with.
Yeah.
Do you think it's honestly because they want their stuff exposed?
Please. It's just the same thing. You know, they just want the two-party system to keep going. This thing right here, Bitcoin or whatever, it looks like to me a new type of, again, a very interesting new version of a currency. And yet, I would not be surprised by election time, and you can mark the date, people, they will find a way to ban this little Bitcoin thing, and they will try to find a way so that the Republicans and Democrats, you know, the our lords and kings or what have you, you know, will continue the two-party racket.
Even if they just have to say, oh, you can't take Bitcoin donations, you have to take it in U.S. dollars.
They'll do it anyway, of course. They'll just call it by another name like they always do.
But, I mean, it's got a lot of candidates scratching their heads because what do you go by? Do you go by how much the Bitcoins were worth when they were donated or when the candidate spends them or turns them into cash or whatever? And you've got a lot of libertarian candidates and a lot of Tea Party-style candidates and Republican Liberty Caucus candidates. They're really, you know, rocking the Bitcoin out there. But they honestly want to play by the rules. They don't want the FEC, you know, sniffing down their necks and trying to do all this. They just don't know how. How do you do this and stay in compliant with these crazy government rules?
It just seems like these rules is that it just seems like they're just keeping there to keep the two-party system in place. I mean, it just seems like every time we get to this, the stories and what have you, like, we might have some new change in this new system. There's, like, these new laws keep coming up. They need to keep new laws to prevent fraud, prevent this, that, and the other, to protect the voter. And all this type of stuff, which all that type of BS jargon they use just to keep their whole, you know, their two-party system in check. It's just the same daggone thing. And it's just like, you know, there are people out there who don't want to have third parties support.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry too much. You've seen how successful they've been at regulating the internet before. This is all just more proof the world is outgrowing these people. These people are dinosaurs afraid of evolving, and they're getting more and more confused by all the new stuff and by all these new things in the world.
You're listening to the Bogosity Podcast. You say you don't like Bitcoin? Why not? Oh, because it's not gold. No problem. Just go to coins.bogosity.tv and you'll be taken to Coinable, where you can buy gold or silver coins or bars with your Bitcoins, with literally up-to-the-minute spot pricing. Now there's no reason not to jump on the Bitcoin bandwagon. Whether you're a Bitcoin miner, service operator, Bitcoin business owner, or market speculator, you can get gold and silver from reputable dealers. And Coinable has Bitcoin liquidity for fast processing of your order. Coinable even utilizes a special shipping infrastructure to ensure that your investment arrives safely at your door. And you know what? By going to coins.bogosity.tv, you won't pay a penny more, excuse me, a Satoshi more for your purchase. But you'll help this podcast. You can even sell your gold and silver for Bitcoin as well. Coinable is your Bitcoin to gold marketplace. So go to coins.bogosity.tv and start turning your Bitcoins into gold now. Welcome back to the Bogosity Podcast. And many years ago, I read a book that just knocked me on my rear end, The Economics of a Pure Gold Standard. And if you're looking for economic reasons to go back to a gold standard, as well as how we can make that happen, I highly recommend this book, and I put a link to it in the show notes. But the reason I mention it is it was written by Mark Skousen. And since I read that, I just started reading tons of things that he's written. And now he's written an article on something that just might be a game changer in the world of economics. So you keep hearing about GDP, and we keep talking about, oh, GDP this, GDP that, and it's like the most important econometric, everyone keeps saying, and we've talked about what it's good for and moreover what it's not good for. Well, starting next spring, the Bureau of Economic Analysis is going to start publishing quarterly figures for gross output, or GO. And the main difference here is that GDP is a measure of what people use, what we actually buy, and the wealth that just ordinary everyday people have. And when you do that, you don't want to do what's called double counting. So when Walmart purchases a product from Sony, you know, they purchase, say, a Blu-ray player from Sony, and then you go to Walmart and you buy the Blu-ray player from Walmart. If you counted the amount that Walmart paid Sony for the Blu-ray player, you know, that's included in the price and they have their markup on it, so you're counting it twice. So with GDP, you don't want to count that twice. All of the factors of production, all of the labor, all of the resources, everything else gets encapsulated into the sale price, and so you don't want to double count it with GDP. But GO does count that. It counts what Walmart spends, you know, the wholesale price from Sony, It also includes what Sony paid for all the different parts and whatever raw materials. And a lot of people feel the GO is actually a better indicator of the business cycle because it talks about what's actually being produced and how much is actually going through to use it. So GDP is a count of what people use. GO is actually a count of what people make. And as the great economist Jean-Baptiste Say said, it's production that enables consumption. You know, when people like Paul Krugman, they look at GDP, and they kind of get it in their head, oh, we need spending, we need spending. Look at these figures. Yeah, we need spending. It's spending that runs the economy. When you look at GO, you really get the idea for how much investment is important for this so you can actually get the products made. Because you can't buy a product until it's actually made and put on the shelf. And so GO is a much better measure of productivity in the economy.
Yeah, well, the way you described GDP just now, the first thought that came to mind was, okay, so you have to make sure you're not counting things twice. Isn't that pretty much impossible? I mean, don't you have to make a whole lot of assumptions in that calculation?
Well, true, but the idea is that it's at the point of sale to the consumer. That's what you're counting.
Yeah, but like, what if I buy the thing from Walmart and then several years down the road I sell it secondhand to someone else? Do you count that? Do you not? What assurance do you have that's ever going to happen? You have to make assumptions there.
Yeah, there's all sorts of weirdness that goes in when people buy and sell used items. There's weirdness when your son is now old enough that he can start mowing the lawn, so you stop paying, you know, the kid down the road to mow the lawn and just have your son do it. The same job is being done, the same wealth is being created, but it doesn't show up in GDP.
I have no idea what you both are talking about.
At least you admit it. Murray Rothbard said, it is no sin to be ignorant of economics. It's only a sin to be ignorant and speak out on it.
Yeah, that's why I'm not talking.
I'll make it feel better. I don't really either. I'm just doing a good impression that I do.
I'm hopeful this thing works. I don't know how it's going to work, but hopefully it makes government at least more efficient, I guess, or at least tell how to be efficient.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to make government more efficient or anything like that, but hopefully when people start analyzing the economy and start talking about economic policy, you know, like the things that I did in my GDP video, where I looked at the different components of GDP and I showed that investment was the only component of GDP that had not yet risen beyond its pre-crisis level. It's like, we need to get investment up. GO should make that a lot plainer because it's really investment that drives everything. And GDP downplays that. So hopefully it'll at least give people more ammunition against the Paul Krugmans of the world.
The hope is what it's going to do is make it more clear that government policies are not working like they say it does. GDP makes it a little easier for them to fudge the numbers. But if what this says is true, it'll be a lot harder for them to make those claims.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't do cops behaving badly stories unless they're extreme. And the problem is, I keep finding extreme examples.
It's like they're competing to get on this show, honestly.
I know. Well, and I keep thinking maybe I need to raise my bar as to what is extreme, but wherever that should be, I'm pretty sure this next story is over it.
Yeah, it's just, I'm watching this, it's just insane. I mean, at some point, you know, maybe I should just take the load off of you, Shane, and start doing stuff on my podcast and just say, you know, maybe a crazy cop a minute or what have you. Maybe that will the stories will stop.
You can do the crazy cop podcast.
Oh,
yeah. So we know the stories, you know, cops raid the wrong house and they shoot the family dog. And usually the story that's told is that the cops are afraid for their lives, you know, thinking that Chihuahua must be as dangerous as a rabid Hannibal Lecter or something. I don't know. But it's just this, it's a spontaneous thing and they're scared and they just do it in the moment. And they don't really mean to do it, right? Enter our protagonist, Eric Crinan. The police banged on his door, wanting to know if he'd seen two criminals. And Crinan said he hadn't, but the cops insisted on searching his home to see if those two criminals were there. And Crinan said, not without a warrant, you don't. And Crinan, by the way, is a lawyer, so, you know, nice house to pick to try to do that. So this guy knows his rights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He knows it's a really bad idea to just cooperate with the police.
Mm-hmm. And let me guess, the happy ending is the cops say, oh, okay, and they leave and don't come back? Please tell me they do that, Shane.
Well, here's what one police officer said to him in response. Quote, if we have to get a warrant, we're going to come back when you're not expecting it. We're going to park in front of your house where all your neighbors can see. We're going to bust in your door with a battering ram. We're going to shoot and kill your dogs. And then we're going to ransack your house looking for these people.
Okay, what did we need these guys for again? I forget.
To protect us from people barging into our home and killing our dogs and ransacking our homes. Don't you know anything? We need the police for that.
That's a threat. I mean, that's like a mob threat.
Absolutely, yes.
It is. And these are the people that are supposed to protect us. And from the mobs and from all these various illegal gangs, but then they start acting like the illegal gangs themselves.
It's a really nice place you got here, but you know, if you don't pay your protection money, someone might come through and smash the place up.
It was a comic where it shows a mafia guy, so it... Come on, guys. You're making us look like the good guys.
Yeah, this is amazing. Yeah, when you look at the article, he said he never had a problem with the police before in his entire life. He has a great amount of respect for the Kansas City Police Department where he's at. But this is just, wow, it's amazing. And most of us, well, we will respect most police officers, and they do have a hard job. But when you have stories like this, and there's mountains of stories of horrible bad policing, they're attacking regular, you know, people, assaulting them, you know, heck, you know, having them doing stuff like this, threatening someone to kill their dog and destroy their private property. It's just, what the hell's going on?
Well, people try to claim the isolated incident thing. I don't buy that anymore. I just don't. Because, oh yes, of course, that's why all the good cops out there were quick to come down on these guys for embarrassing them and making them look bad and teach them about their high standards. Oh, wait, what's that? They didn't do that? In fact, they actively defended them so that they wouldn't face any consequences?
Yep, you got that thin blue line.
Well, never bloody mind then!
Well, you know, it's just like the whole thing about the Catholic Church and the pedophile priests. And they were saying, well, that was just, you know, a few isolated priests here and there. But it was the official policy of the Catholic Church to hide this and cover it up and protect them and, you know, give them whole new parishes full of, you know, fresh new victims. You know, it's the same thing. You know, it's just... You know, again, it's like, it's the same thing, so why aren't the skeptics speaking out about this as loudly as they were about the pedophile priests? What's the difference?
It's why I don't take the anti-gun control people seriously, because they never have a single peep to say about these sorts of things. Not one peep.
Again, we have been raised. Police officer is good, they're always this, that, and the police officers who are bad and doing these things are the rarity or the exception. And it's something, you hear more of these stories coming out, they're still the exception, because once they start saying these things, maybe that type of piercing the veil, they don't want to go through that door, because it might actually challenge their beliefs, it might actually challenge who they thought their police and everything else are. They don't want to go through that door. And it's a hard door to go through. But when you do that, they actually can start actually asking some real hard questions.
Yeah, the mass shooters that the gun nuts go after, those are isolated incidents. I mean, say what you want about the school shootings. At least they didn't have an entire system protecting them from the consequences of that.
They just don't want to go through that door. They don't want to go through that door when it says, oh my goodness, it scares them, and it's terrifying for them. This thing is happening to what my belief system is, and it's a really hard thing to shake and get out of.
Well, I just asked them to just consider the possibility you could be next, and then what are you going to say?
We'll continue with the news of the bogus in just a couple minutes. Hackers, terrorists, the NSA, but I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers, backup sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.pagosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.pagosity.tv and get LastPass now. History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's Liberty Classroom. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, Liberty Classroom teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects. And when you sign up, you'll get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit LibertyClassroom.com. Welcome back to the Bogosity Podcast. And, you know, lately we've been getting a lot of that stuff like, GMOs are bad, okay?
Oh, yes. GMOs are the devil.
According to people who don't know what GMOs are.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, there was one study that was much touted by the anti-GMO crowd. It was published in the journal Food and Chemical Toxicology, and it looked for adverse effects in rats fed GMO corn developed by, guess who? Monsanto.
Oh, Monsanto. The evil Monsanto again.
Yeah. Yes.
I ruined the joke. Yeah. Podcast negative stars.
Yes, Monsanto. And it's funny, every time we do a GMO story, I get accused of being on Monsanto's payroll, and you know what? I haven't received a dime from them. What's the matter, Monsanto? Pay up!
You know, it's the same thing. They always say, well, you're in cahoots with this company, and you defend them so much. It's like grade school. If you like it so much, why don't you marry it?
I've been told that all the time. I tell them, folks, if I was paid off by the corporations, I think I'd have much nicer recording equipment.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
And when I look at this, it's just, again, people who want to believe in something, they believe that, oh my God, this technology can be used for evil and things like that, but when you look at the hard data, it's not there. And yet people would still toss. It's like the anti-vaxxer stuff. When that person, that doctor who said these horrible things, these things about vaccines are horrible and everything else. And when that was disproven multiple times, you have various celebrities like Jenny McCarthy and Jim Carrey and what have you promote this type of stuff and say, well, see, this doctor, even though he's been discredited, he's still a doctor. He said these things, and
he becomes a martyr.
Yeah, it's sickening.
Like, they found that autism actually starts developing long before the child has ever received his first vaccine. You'd think that would be open and shut. There's nothing more to talk about here. That autism can't time travel, so... But that's just not enough for these people. Nothing is ever enough.
So what they did in this study was they fed these rats GMO corn for 2 years, and they got these huge, horrible tumors that made for really scary pictures. Despite the fact that over a dozen long-term studies of GMO crops found no detrimental health effects when compared to a similar non-GMO diet, but these rats done got bad cancer.
Yeah.
So what really happened? How did they get the tumors?
I'll get there, but we've known all along this was a bad study. They had bad experimental design, faulty statistical analysis, a lack of independent assessment, although they claimed otherwise. But above all, the rats they used for the study are specifically bred to develop tumors.
Oops.
Now, these were the Sprague Dolly strain of rats. It's an albino rat, and it's easy to handle, and they're nice and friendly, and they're easy to work with, and they readily develop tumors, and they're used for the purpose of testing cancer treatments and preventatives. And they're generally used for like 90 days or several months, and then humanely euthanized at the end if they hadn't died already. But they kept these rats going for 2 years, and it's pretty much inevitable that they were going to develop these huge tumors by then. And this is something that the scientific community considers to be very unethical and cruel. And plus, they only used 10 of them, which is not a very good sample size.
Wow.
So there's two possibilities here. Either A, they were completely unaware that these rats were bred for that, in which case these guys don't check their own equipment, their own samples and everything, which makes them utterly incompetent as scientists. Or B, they knew this and yet presented the tumors as being caused by GMOs, so they knew that their study was nonsense, and they deliberately went through it anyway. Either they deliberately lied, or they're completely incompetent.
Well, listen to what happened and see if you can tell which one of those two it is. So there was an independent analysis of the paper, actually I think a couple of different ones, and after that the publisher withdrew the paper, and here's what they said, quote, "The editor-in-chief found no evidence of fraud or intentional misrepresentation of the data. However, there is a legitimate cause for concern regarding both the number of animals in each study group and the particular strain selected. A more in-depth look at the raw data revealed that no definitive conclusions can be reached with this small sample size. Given the known high incidence of tumors in the Sprague Dawley rat, normal variability cannot be excluded as the cause of the higher mortality and incidence observed in the treated groups. Ultimately, the results presented, while not incorrect, are inconclusive, and therefore do not reach the threshold of publication for food and chemical toxicology." Okay, so how do you think the authors responded to that?
"We're sorry, we're going to go back and do the study again, and this time correct those mistakes, because, you know, we're all about finding truth above all else."
Nope. They called it, quote, "a public health scandal."
Of course they did. Of course, because it's easier to deflect blame and say, it's this thing's fault, even though our type of our research was completely fraudulent because of our incompetence, our duplicity, and what have you. Because God forbid it's not those two things, but instead it's a huge, big conspiracy. The world doesn't want you to know the real truth, and all the other things Alex Jones sprouts about his website 10 times a day. But, you know, it's just because, you know, it's like Alton's razor, you know? Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar.
And sometimes it's really a bad study and not a worldwide conspiracy of scientists to conceal the truth.
I mean, really? They're going to waste their time doing this? For what's the end goal? It's what, money? Like, that trolley mustache?
Like you can't make just as much money, you know, with other types of crops and stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just
with
like
a lot less R&D, you know, money spent for that.
Yeah, I think if you ask an economist to see if you could actually make a business model on what these people think the GMO industry is doing, I think he would turn up, there's no way you're going to profit from this. It's going to blow up in your face, even under the best of circumstances. Okay, we poison the food supply, we're filthy rich, but we also have nothing to eat ourselves and everyone else is dead.
Yeah.
Brilliant! Let's start that plan immediately. It's not every person is a bad comic book villain. In fact, I don't think any comic book villains would do something like that. Maybe the Joker, but other than that, no, it doesn't make any gosh darn sense.
Well, speaking of things that don't make any sense, you know, if our government hasn't been ruining health care enough as it is, the Federal Department of Health and Human Services has proposed a new rule that flies in the face of a federal court ruling which overturned a ban on compensating bone marrow donors.
Oh, joy. Government, once again, making things even worse. Why do we put these people in power again?
Well, all of this is based on a federal law called the National Organ Transplant Act, or NOTA, which makes it illegal to offer compensation for transplantation, and the idea was to stop black market organ trafficking. And what happened was Congress put in an exemption for blood so you could still donate blood or blood plasma and get paid for it. The way bone marrow transplants are generally done is through a process of apheresis. The donor is given a drug for 5 days that boosts stem cell production, and then they collect the stem cells from the donor's blood and return the rest of the blood. It's kind of like a self-transfusion, except they're taking out the stem cells along the way, and then they use those stem cells to transplant into the recipient's bone marrow. and do their little medical magic to actually make them better, cure them of leukemia, or all sorts of things that can be done with this. And there's a big problem, even with compensation, it's just hard to find a match. More than two-thirds of patients who need a bone marrow transplant won't have a matching donor in their family. Over 1,000 die every year because they can't find a matching donor. And it really affects minorities more. Of the people who don't have a match in their own family, 75% of Caucasians can generally get a transplant, but that drops to 45% among Hispanics and 25% among African Americans. So what happened was, the Ninth Circuit in Flynn versus Holder legalized compensation for bone marrow donors and then increased the number of potential donors, and that's a good thing, right? Well, what's happening now is the Department of Health and Human Services is trying to nullify Flynn, and they're redefining bone marrow as an organ. And this will have the effect of making it illegal to compensate bone marrow donors, even though no organs are removed. It's just stem cells from the blood. But if this passes and someone compensates you for donating your bone marrow, they could get 5 years in prison and a $50,000 fine for saving someone's life.
The original argument for this is just the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. So a guy who will kidnap people and take their organs and sell them is totally going to obey the law that says you're not allowed to sell it after he's already shown he's willing to do all this other horrible stuff? What are these people thinking?
Well, and it's also the things like, oh, well, then you'd have poor people selling one of their kidneys to get some extra money. Well, yeah, so poor people are stupid and they make bad decisions and we need government to make their decisions for them. That's basically what it is.
That reminds me of the private clinic debate that used to rage up in here in Canada for a while. Every time it was discussed whether or not to allow paid medical clinics to try and take up the slack from the already overworked Canadian healthcare system, everyone would chime in and go, no, you're letting rich people jump the line. No, they're getting into a different line. Stop and think for a moment. What is wrong with you?
Well, not only is it a completely different line, it's also a line that means, you know, more organs are available, you know, when... You know, you have the black market that just drives the price up. Let the free market have a go at it, and the price goes way down. More people can afford it. More charities could afford to go out and get, you know, kidneys or livers or whatever. And there's no way it wouldn't be better.
It would be much safer. You could pay to get an organ from a proper doctor and not have to go to some dubious little shack in a hole in the wall somewhere.
So, in the end, this law makes it harder for people to get the help they need and basically ruins more lives. Are we not surprised?
I don't even know what they're thinking. I mean, they haven't commented on it, so no one really knows what they're thinking. They had this whole thing for public comments that was open, I think, until December 2nd, and just like people were posting thing after thing after thing about, you know, what a terrible idea this is. Let people get compensated for donating bone marrow. I mean, why not?
And I guarantee you the law will still go through because they say, well, it's just for the greater good, I guarantee you, they'll say. And they'll still push the law through or something. Or just they might hide in one of the 10 billion bills they have, what have
you. Well, this isn't even that. This Congress has nothing to do with this. This is Housing and Human Services that does it. And they can just write something on paper. Congress doesn't have anything to do with it. And all of a sudden, it's the law.
What? This committee can just operate without any type of, well, we want to do this. So screw you all. Even if you want this thing up, we'll still write this thing to law. I mean, what is democratic about that? I don't know.
That's why Downsize DC has the Right to Laws Act. This kind of stuff goes on all the time.
It is. This is disturbing. It blows my mind. People will really say government is the solution when they're clearly not. And they'll say, well, the government is the people, the right of the people. When you can show them this, it's not. The government is only for itself. It's only for a certain amount of people, but not anyone else.
Yeah, so let's just sum this up here. More people have to die on waiting lists all because of a knee-jerk reaction to illegal organ harvesting boogeymen. Still think they're on your side, folks?
You're listening to the Bogosity Podcast from Bogosity.tv. Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy, I've been a satisfied GoDaddy customer for over 10 years now. Their prices are great, and their 24/7 support is second to none, so I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or many other services, and get 35% off by typing in the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet service. Get your own .com with a personalized email address or establish your online business in a snap, all for 35% off. Order before the end of 2013 and you can get $99.coms or $1 a month website builder with a free domain or $99 a month economy hosting with a free domain. All sorts of great savings. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not. Based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again. Welcome back to the Bogosity Podcast with Tim, Charles, and Shane, and we're going to excommunicate this week's biggest bogon emitter. And this week, it's Pope Francis, the new guy.
He seemed so nice at first.
Well, he did a couple of things that I like, but this infallible voice of God, a couple of weeks ago, started spewing some incredibly bogus economics as he criticizes what he calls the idolatry of money.
What does that even mean? Money is only a route. It's basically empowering the individual. It's not this evil force. What, you want to go back to the bartering system? I mean, that's the other way, but, you know.
And if money's bad, the Catholic Church is really in no position to argue, especially when you're wearing that silly hat.
True.
Yes.
But here's one of the things he said, quote, "The current financial crisis can make us overlook the fact that it originated in a profound human crisis, the denial of the primacy of the human person. We have created new idols. The worship of the ancient golden calf has returned in a new and ruthless guise in the idolatry of money and the dictatorship of an impersonal economy lacking a truly human purpose."
I remember the golden calf story. Even back when I was a kid, I thought God was being kind of petty about that.
I'd like to have a golden calf. I wonder if that would be worth, like, on the market. Hey, don't they have one of those on Wall Street?
Yeah, I know, I think he means well, but when he gets into this type of stuff saying, oh my gosh, huge economic mess, what I see it is basically government meddling, more government meddling, and how to fix it is more government meddling. And that's basically what happened. It wasn't the people. The people didn't cause this. The regular man on the street, or Main Street, didn't cause this thing. It's the people on K Street and the White House and all this, the White House, the congressmen and all this type of stuff caused these problems. Not the people in Main Street. So I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, I certainly will agree we've created false idols. They're all a bunch of suited guys sitting up in Congress who honestly think they can run the economy when they've repeatedly shown they couldn't even run a lemonade stand.
False idols indeed.
Well, this next part you can probably recite with me. "While the earnings of the minority are growing exponentially, so too is the gap separating the majority from the prosperity enjoyed by those happy few. This imbalance is the result of ideologies which defend the absolute autonomy of the marketplace and financial speculation."
Okay, let's look at the history on that one. When the New Deal and all this stuff was coming in, their promise was to end poverty, close the gap between the rich and the poor. Today, The U.S. government is 40 times bigger than it was back then, and yet the gap is wider. You can't argue lack of government or anything like that is the problem. There is no way you can credibly argue that.
And they still do. It's just, it's mind-blowing to me that people will still use that same argument when you look at the facts saying government will fix everything when it can't. In fact, when the government was, well, basically hands-off, once upon, like, maybe in the 1800s, but now, you know, the debt it just keeps going up, and the spending keeps going up, more government jobs, more government programs, more government committees, more this, that, and the other. It got bigger and bigger, but yet the poverty and gap is getting wider and wider. And you know why that is? It's because those people, those one percenters and all those things the Occupy Wall Street are so mad about, they're the ones paying the government officials. They're the ones who are massaging them to keep their golden parachutes on standby. If he was talking about that, then I'd be with this new pope. But instead, he just seems like, you know, we need more of the same, which doesn't work.
And check this one out. Quote, in this system, which tends to devour everything which stands in the way of increased profits, whatever is fragile, like the environment, is defenseless before the interests of a deified market, which become the only rule. I mean, just what does he think a market is?
Oh.
It's just the collective desires of people. It's not inherently good or evil.
Yeah, and it doesn't rule in any way.
No. In fact, government, again, does more harm to the environment than the free market. I mean, seriously, when you hear this, that the market is somehow destroying the environment and doing this type of all the evil things, it makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense.
It's like a superhero who's walking past serial killers to give out parking tickets. Like, are you really that dense, or is there some kind of ulterior motive going on here?
Oh, I think his motives are made quite clear when he said that one of the problems was, quote, self-serving tax evasion. Oh, yeah, like people want to actually keep the money they earn. How horrible.
Oh, the worst thing in the universe.
Oh, please, those guys... Even if that was true that those people were doing the harm, I think those guys are pretty small time in the broad scheme of things.
And it's that astounding willingness to spew moronically false statements for the purpose of his own aggrandizement that makes Pope Francis this week's biggest bogon emitter. And now let's write epithets in the snow at this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
So you remember Jesus on a Tortilla?
Oh, yeah.
That actually sounds like a pretty good expletive, doesn't it? Jesus on a Tortilla!
Oh.
Yeah. Mary in a grilled cheese sandwich. Even the figure of Jesus in a dog's butt. That's got to be my favorite.
I didn't hear that one.
Oh, Google that one. It's hilarious.
Well, hi.
No, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that.
Some things are best left unknown and unthought of.
But religious pareidolia just gets weirder and weirder as time goes on. And now we have, get this, God writing his name in a woman's varicose veins.
Wow. You know, as a Christian... I have to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Why do these people still look at these things and say, oh my gosh, God is here? No, I mean, why would he be there on a vein or on a tortilla or on a dog's butt? I don't get it.
The stupid thing is, this woman, Audriana Phelps, and I checked, she doesn't seem to be involved with Fred Phelps in Westboro Baptist Church, so apparently no connection there. Of course, that doesn't make her any less a moron, but there was one part where she asked those exact questions. Why would God come here and now do this? And why would he do leg veins of all things? But then she said, but God moves in mysterious ways.
Ugh.
And it's just amazing how that phrase just lets you write off all the problems with anything you think of.
That's not mysterious. That's just insane. It would kind of reek of really horrible priorities there. Let's solve poverty, make people more enlightened, teach peace on the world. No, let's write my name on random things for no real reason. What?
And besides, it doesn't look like God. It looks like some... You know what it looks like? It looks like a...
It looks like food to me.
Yeah, it looks like food. In fact, it doesn't even spell God. It's just like it says COD. It could have been Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, or something.
Then that's just it. I think God just has lousy penmanship. I mean, this might explain a lot. I mean, how many of the dogmas could have been just misinterpretations of sloppy handwriting? I mean, think about this. Maybe the commandment is supposed to say, humor thy father and mother. That sounds like really good advice to me.
I humor him too much.
Or, hey, maybe it's supposed to be celebrate instead of celibate. Imagine all the problems that have come from getting that wrong.
That'd be really awkward.
Oh, no, wait. I got it. God said not to take his name in vain. Get it?
Oh, vain. No.
There we go. Okay. It all makes sense now.
I can just sense that this video is going to be just taken down from YouTube just for that bad joke alone.
Yeah, we're going to get down thumbs for that.
I can hear their groans already.
Oh, man. But honestly, though, it's just people, just like I said, they just want to see things that they really want to see. I don't see God here. I mean, it's just, again, if you really want my opinion, it's just like very blurry and it doesn't see anything. And if it was God there, it's just like, and it just seems like another type of weird thing that people just want to draw attention to themselves, saying, oh, look, I got something, even though it's my life is completely bland and no one really, you know, cares about me. So go ahead. I got a God tattoo on my leg vein. See, I am important, even though I haven't done anything really important. But I don't know. That's just my personal thing.
Oh, yeah. I can just imagine her using that as a conversation piece at a party. Everyone will be slowly backing away from her.
Oh, I just got it on my vein. Come and see. Yes, that's nice. When is this thing over with? Oh, look.
Oh, I just remember I left the oven on. Sorry, gotta go.
Or just say, oh my goodness, I see Jesus in that floor painting over there.
Look, something Jesus-y.
Head lined with lead paint. Go over there. Go, trust me, it's fun. And remember, breathe deeply. Again, if he wanted, and I honestly don't think if God really wanted to, he, she, or whatever, this huge, massive being out there, wanted to make its presence known, he wouldn't leave a tattoo or veins on a...
Well, this is the same God who supposedly bitch-slapped Saul on the road to Damascus. I mean, he did everything except drag him out in the woods and, you know, beat him to a pulp to make his presence known to him, and now he's writing his name on leg veins.
Yeah, why are we getting cheated like this?
Maybe he mellowed out.
All of that means that Audriana Phelps, and for that matter, her entire family, and pretty much everyone who shared this story as one of inspiration, just have to be this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Well, that wraps up this Go to the Last Drop edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums at bogosity.tv, where you can read the show notes and join the discussion on these and other subjects. This podcast is free but not free to produce, so please donate via PayPal or Bitcoin at the top of the Bogosity.tv website or down the right-hand side of the podcast page and give generously to keep this podcast going. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, just send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. Put it in an audio file, and if it's good enough, it'll get played right in the podcast. Thank you for listening, and thanks once more to my co-hosts, Tim Dyson and Charles Thomas.
Pleasure as always.
No problem. I have nothing else to do today.
Till next time, here's a quote from Jean-Baptiste Say. Let no government imagine that to strip them of the power of defrauding their subjects is to deprive them of a valuable privilege. A system of swindling can never be long-lived and must infallibly, in the end, produce much more loss than profit. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Imported License. Christmas time is coming, and the most classic of Christmas stories is A Christmas Carol. But how much do you know about the original Charles Dickens novella? Have you dismissed it as a children's book with one-dimensional characters amounting to nothing but platitudes and cliches? Maybe your appreciation of the book was even muted by those dry, boring, annotated books they made you read in school. My book, the sarcastically annotated A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, uses both facts and humor to present the book in a way you probably haven't seen it before.
Giving praise when deserved and beratement when warranted, this book is put in the perspective of its time and shows a dimensional, multi-layered Ebenezer Scrooge from start to finish. Skepticism, history, and even economics are employed to show the book in relation to today in an easily accessible format. Appreciate the Christmas of your youth all over again. Get The Sarcastically Annotated A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, available at Amazon and on PDF as well.
Give me a second. I'm definitely going to need the story up for this one. There's a lot of technical stuff. This is the Beyond GDP story. Ah, screw you and your ads, Forbes. There we go.
No problem. Yeah. This is why you have ad blocker.
My security program used to do that, but it doesn't now. I don't care too much. Most ads don't give me any trouble.
Yeah, I mean, you should. I mean, the ads are how they pay for the website, you know? You're going, I want something free! You know, well, just watch the ads. It's not a big thing.
I just had ad blocker because I've had computers wrecked by ads who keep slipping stuff onto my computer.
Yeah, that's true. You gotta protect yourself from the malware and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I do turn them off.
But you can have an ad blocker and put it, you know, in the mode where it's just getting the malware and the suspicious stuff and let the rest of the ads through.
That's what I do. I do that, and it's just, it's great. Ah, it's nice. Well, man. So,